B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Now, listen, that had to be a strong pull for Landfill to keep Michael Jackson Day going, even though Nikki was on the line and we normally hear Petey Pob. Nikki Jobvalla.
I would have changed the song, but our computer broke and I can't change the song.
There you go. So, Nikki, I hope you don't mind a little MJ. How are you?
All good. All good.
You did a really good job. You and I were sitting there together watching that game, watching the Hail Mary and just how it all unfolded, and it was just pure chaos. I think you did a great job, though, pointing out, you know, a lot has changed in the universe as it comes to newspapers, and the actual print version sometimes are, like, so memorable and arguable works of art. And I love that you tweeted out the picture. I don't know if McDonald took that or what, but the picture of Noah Brown 4 yards behind the scrum catching that Hail Mary on the cover of the Post Sports section is just so damn cool.
It was an awesome cover. Like, our Matt Bonsia, he came up with the headline, which I thought was just perfect, and the way it was laid out, I loved it. To me, that's like, yeah, one of those iconic covers that you end up framing. I'm going to frame it. But,
well,
yeah,
it helps when your byline's really cool on it, so you should frame it.
Well, yeah, but even if it was like somebody else's, like, I just think that that moment, I mean, it's just like, it's hard not to appreciate what you're witnessing, you know? It's pretty cool, even if it, like, I almost had a heart attack in the moment.
Yeah,
but
it was wild.
Yeah.
Wow, we got some breaking news out of Houston. Steph Diggs out for the year. Wow.
Wow.
We knew he was hurt. Didn't know he was that hurt. All right, so Nikki, as much as we've all just been enjoying this and looking back, and there's a million different angles, and the video's incredible, and the Bears DB's an idiot, and all of that, it's kind of, you know, when you and I get to Ashburn tomorrow, we're looking at the Giants game, and and the organization's looking at 5 games until they're bye, and a couple of them look quite difficult, right? Let's start with a little bit of, like, injury cleanup from the weekend. Do you know why or what was up with Brian Robinson's lack of involvement in the second half?
I don't, honestly. He's been dealing, I don't know if it's injury related or if it was just circumstance, but he has been dealing with sort of that lingering knee injury.
Yep.
So I think they're trying to be cognizant of that, but, you know, it was a tight game. So that's on my list of things to get clarity on going into the week. But yeah, he's one of those that I feel like we're probably going to be monitoring week to week. Same with Jaden Daniels. I mean, he was clearly uncomfortable there late in the game after taking the hits that he did. And, you know, Quinn said even last night he's going to be week to week. So I'd imagine it's the same, maybe not to, you know, the same degree, but, you know, that, you know, if it's rib cartilage, as it was reported, I haven't been able to confirm that part, but if it is that, you know, that doesn't heal in 2 days. So, you know,
yeah,
something they'll
I talked to a surgeon I know last week as we were still trying to figure out if he was going to play. And basically the way the rib cartilage stuff was explained to me is it just heals when it heals. And you really can't set a timeline on it. And then it becomes a pain threshold thing. And Jaden is now, I'd argue, proven that the threshold is very, very high. So I don't think that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't have concern about Jaden against the Giants, barring something else or a setback or whatever.
Right. Right.
The O-line.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was very fortunate that he wasn't dealing with anything structural or like a fracture or anything. The only other possible injury that I questioned was like if it was a bone bruise or something. But, you know, it was reported as a cartilage issue, so we'll see.
Right. The O-line, we saw Cornelius Lucas leave the game.
Yeah.
We saw him in the locker room with a boot on. Maybe you get Brandon Coleman back this week, cleared from the concussion. But still, your depth's starting to take some hits. Biadasz has been so good. He's dealing with that beat-up thumb. I know Cosby and Allegretti got to have some aches and pains, certainly in their legs.
Yeah, I mean, it's you're getting to the point of the season where everybody does. The one I'm also concerned about is Wiley. I mean, he was slow to get up there on a number of plays. You know, is he dealing with something that, you know, nothing that has so far held him out, but that's another one to monitor. But Cornelius, yeah, seeing him in a boot, not good. I don't know how much of that is precaution versus, you know, they actually found something, but definitely the hope is to get, you know, Brandon Coleman back out there this week if he can clear the concussion protocol.
That would help a ton. Talking with our friend Nikki Jobvalla from the Washington Post. You can give her a follow at Nikki Jobvalla, NikkiJhabvalla. Let's switch it over to the defensive side of the ball. We saw the Johnny Newton that we were told about.
Yeah. Yeah. He looked really good. He looked really good. I'm still trying to get clarity on that. What appeared to be a sack, but I guess they determined that Caleb was a runner then, so it was more of a tackle
that
for loss. I still think you should get credit
BS.
For a sack.
I agree.
Yeah. I that's one where I'm pretty sure the team is going to submit that to the league to try to get credit for them. I mean, yeah.
I brought it up with a team official. I did bring that up with a team official, and they said they would submit it. So they should.
Yeah, totally. I mean, because Johnny Newton bookended that game. I mean, two big plays on first and near the end, and for a rookie to come in and do that, it really stepping in for John Allen too. Like,
yeah.
I mean, this is why they really like the guy. This rookie class. I mean, I think it's magnified because of, you know, how poor previous rookie classes have been, but sure. Also like these kids are really good too. But this rookie class has had an immediate and impressive impact so far. I mean, Mike Sanderson is really coming into his own, and he plays so much bigger than what he is. Jaden, obviously, these guys they're playing well. I think Coleman has really developed. If they could just get him back healthy, that would help. It's been a good class so far.
For sure. I think Sammerstill, the level of physicality with which he plays is remarkable for a guy his size, and I don't think it's going away. I don't think it's going to change. I think that's just how he's wired. And
he plays fearless.
Totally. And when Saban talked about him the way he did, and then Peters talked about him the way he did when they drafted him, and Quinn, and you could just tell he's a different beast.
Totally.
But so we talk Newton, we talk Sammerstill. Defensively, all of a sudden they're hot. They're averaging, they've given up 11 per game in the last two. They've climbed all the way up to 10th in the league in points allowed.
It's remarkable, given how bad they were to start, how out of sync they appear to start.
Totally, 100%. I mean, they gave up at least 33 in two of the first three games.
Right,
but how much of the success the last few weeks was a terrible Panthers team and Caleb Williams just playing awful for three quarters versus they forced the other quarterbacks to be bad?
I think both. I think this defense really is playing well together. They're playing more like, Dan Quinn and Joe Witt envisioned them playing, with that physicality and better communication, which is clear from the front to the back end. They still have their blitz, which can turn into big blips, like the DeAndre Swift run where, he forced four missed tackles, I think, on that one run. So they still have their moments that they need to clean up, but I think on the whole, they are playing much more in sync. They're able to create pressure. They're able to get home. The back end, they look like they know what they're doing out there. It's not always perfect, but there's definitely consistent improvement. And there's development, which, again, is something that we haven't seen in years, really, on either side of the ball. So to see that, I think that's what gives me the most optimism, is you see guys consistently improving. You see, Luvu, I think, he's unbelievable, that guy. Like, he's sort of the motor, the glue of that group. Him and Wagner in the middle. But, I've been impressed by the defense and sort of their progress so far. I wasn't quite sure if they'd be able to turn it around. They have some talent, no doubt, but it's not like they have otherworldly talent. I think there's still depth concerns, especially corner. But they've, made the most of what they have, I think.
I totally agree. I even said, B and I kind of argued about this after the Tampa game. I was like, I know that the offense can be much better. I know that week one, I kind of thought Jaden was just kind of getting used to stuff. Maybe he had happy feet a little bit better. I thought he could stay in the pocket and really show his arm and win from the pocket, and he's proven that. I wasn't sure the defense would get better. And I think Dude, you watched the Giants last night. 11 penalties, god-awful two-point conversion call. And you wonder, like, is that a well-coached team? But then you watch Washington and you're like, that looks like a well-coached team. You could see the difference.
Right. Totally. Totally. I mean, when I watched the Giants, I felt like you're no disrespect to the previous regime, but it feels like you're watching a lot of what Washington experienced in previous seasons. Now, when you watch them, it's a well-oiled machine. You know, it's not always perfect, but they are absolutely trending in the right direction. And I mean, let's be honest, a lot of it changes when you get a quarterback too. I think the staff is good. I think they've done a good job of, you know, keeping it one message and developing guys. And, you know, you retweeted at first that clip of Micah Parsons, Diggs on that podcast talking about what Quinn does for a group and instills confidence in players. I think there's a lot of truth to that. I mean, you can see it in guys too. But having a quarterback winning and having a coach that like really believes in what they're preaching, I think is sort of that trifecta that they've achieved so far.
It's been wild. So this is my new question. 5 games left to the bye. What's your prediction for the bye week record? 13 games in.
Oh, man. Are they 6-2 now? Who do you have left? They got the Steelers at home after the Giants.
They go Giants, Steelers at Philly Thursday night, Dallas at home, Tennessee at home.
I mean, I don't think – I mean, there's a chance they could win all of those, right? I think they're a good team.
Like, I know. We got to get
– a good team.
I think 9-4 is entirely reasonable.
Totally. And I think so, too. I think really the Steelers game will actually be tough. They look good.
Yeah.
I didn't think they would, but they do look good.
The Eagles have turned it around. The Steelers, with Russ Wilson, all of a sudden have a lot cooking up there.
And yeah.
The other three, I think Washington will be favored.
I do, too.
And against the Titans, it might be two touchdowns.
Sort of a mess. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and here's the thing, like, I didn't know what to expect going into the season. I could have seen them being like the next Houston Texans or, you know, having another dud of a season just because they're trying to pull it all together. I thought eventually they'll be good because I think Jaden is good and the quarterback changes everything. So I'm still not sure. I think they're a good team, though. I mean, we've seen this consistently. I don't think it was, the Cincy game was clearly not a fluke. I think they're a good team.
I don't remember.
How much better is their opponent going to be? How much worse? I think 9-4 is a solid estimate there.
I don't remember for you. I know I've been covering these guys for a while, and even 2020, it was COVID. They were 7-9. There were fun portions, but it wasn't a fun year. What's the last fun year you had? Because there were some bad Broncos teams you covered too.
My first year on the beat, they won the Super Bowl.
Okay,
yeah, and that was kind of a straight drop from there.
That was 15? Because
then it's 2015. Yeah. Okay. So it was kind of the third wheel on the beat in 2014. So I got to see Peyton when he was still Peyton and still like, that was awesome to see. And then 2015, you know, on the beat full time and they won it all. Peyton was sort of a shell of himself, but that defense was incredible. And that was awesome. It was a fun team to cover. So much fun.
Yep.
And then you're trying to replace a franchise quarterback, one of the greatest of all time. So, you dealt with a lot of the same things that Washington has dealt with in recent years.
It's fun to have fun. Thank you, Nick. I appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
That's Nikki Jobvalla. Give her a follow on X and Instagram. Read her work in the Washington Post.